keep my eye on the clock there. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are wisdom. Thank you, Father, that in this room we need your wisdom like never before. And Father, I thank you for the anointing in this room that is just going to pour into us again insights and answers and vision like we've never known before. Show us something that we didn't see before, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You know, in Hebrew, wisdom is grammatically a feminine noun. Hence, Solomon in the book of Proverbs poetically personifies wisdom as a woman calling out in the streets, on the hilltops, in the town centers. Proverbs 1:20 says, wisdom shouts in the street. She cries in the public squares. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. Do you know the Message translation? I know some ministers don't like the Message translation, but it says, Lady Wisdom calls out, idiots, how long will you refuse to learn? I thought, you know what? I'm possibly going to offend some people by saying that, but it is in your Message Bible, so do with it what you want. Proverbs 8, 1 to 4 says, listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice on the hilltop along the road. She takes her stand at the crossroads, by the gate, at the entrance of the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. We see a picture that is painted here that represents what we would call today the CBD area, the Central Business District. It's a place that is attended, where decisions are made, where the politics is expressed, education, justice, banking, the arts, entertainment. It's the gathering of people from roads in, coming into the city, to the CBD. And it's a place where discussions are had, meetings are made, where connection is happening with people, the CBD. Solomon paints the picture of a woman calling to be heard by anyone choosing to listen. They could all be under her voice. Some are hearing and some are not. Some are receiving wisdom and some are not. We've all heard of selective hearing. Don't nudge the person next to you, especially if you're married to them. Choosing to listen. I had, when I was writing this, I had a little flashback, you know, I have flashbacks to little stories, and I thought, women calling out. When I was growing up in London, we lived for a while when I was a young girl in a cul-de-sac in London, and coincidentally, this cul-de-sac had a lot of little girls our age living in it, and so we would all pour out onto the street and play for hours. Out come the prams, we had dolly hospitals, we had it all going on. It was a neighborhood of girls. We would play for hours, you know, back in the day we did. It was pretty safe, and our little cul-de-sac was lovely. And the sun would start to go down, and then the mums one by one would come out to call us in for dinner. It's time to come in for your dinner, it's time to come in for your bath, whatever, whatever. And the mums would come out and they'd say, dinner time, you know, and the women would, dinner time, like, it's time to come in. And if we were having a really good time, we would have a little bit of selective hearing and we would say, that's not my mum, that's your mum. And we would blame, we would just say to her, that's not my mum, that's your mum. And we'd ignore them. But you couldn't ignore my mum, because when my mum came out, she never said just my name. She would start off by coming out and she'd go, yoo-hoo, Susie, like this. And everyone go, that's your mum, Sue. And I'd have to go. But And, you know, my mum's not with us anymore. She's gone to be with Jesus, but her legacy of you-hooing runs in our family. And when I pick up a call from a couple of our sons, I get a yoo-hoo, hello, mum, yoo-hoo. So mum's legacy of you-hooing. Now, that is just a random story, but it humours me and that helps me to move on with my next point. I put humour in here. I think Jesus gives it to me just to keep me going. Do you remember? I'm only just standing in. So if there was ever a time when the voice of God's wisdom needs to be raised and heard in all these areas, it's now. Our world has gone crazy. Newsflash, there is so much nonsense out there. Common sense is no longer common. And without the application of God's word and wisdom, leaders everywhere are leading with human wisdom and, dare I say, demonic wisdom. We need the wisdom of God. As pastors, our hope and our prayer is that people will come into our churches to hear God's word, but many won't actually access a church. We've got to take the wisdom out into the marketplace, out into our CBD areas, out into our communities. And so pastors and leaders, we need to continue to passionately empower, equip, and encourage all of our people who are out there doing the stuff, the business people, our teachers, our politicians, our musicians, our artists, our mums, our students. We are there to equip the saints to go out and do the ministry, to get out there. Wisdom in these two scriptures is getting out amongst it. She's not contained. The wisdom is not contained. Wisdom of God, it doesn't want to be contained just in education places and in our churches. We've got to get out and about. We need to empower everyone because everyone is essential to revival. Everyone is essential to getting the wisdom of God out there. Wisdom is calling everyone. And as pastors and ministers, we want to be those leading the way in hearing and obeying. We say to our children now, are you listening? But what you're really asking is not are your ears working, but are you choosing to hear and respond and obey? Are you hearing? Many a child will have selective hearing. And they just get this glazed look. And you say, are you listening? Can you hear me? I'm going to tell you another funny story to humour myself. I've got some people planted in the room today that are going to give complimentary laughter if the story falls flat, okay? So they've promised me that if it's not that funny, they're going to laugh anyway, just to help me along. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Thank you. I was sitting with one of my grandsons. I'm a nanny now and I absolutely love it. And I was sitting with one of my grandsons and we were playing with Mr. Potato Head. Anyone, any Potato Head fans here? All the baby boomers will understand that back in our day, we had a real potato. And we just had a box of arms and legs and noses and glasses and we just shoved them into the potato. And if you forgot to take them out and you put the potato in the box, the next time you revisited, it had roots. And I remember going up into my bedroom and opening this box and out came this potato with all these roots. It looked like an alien and screaming, you know, Mr. Potato Head's turned into an alien. But not anymore. It's plastic now. Mr. Potato Head is plastic. And he's got a little door in his backside for extra accessories for every mood. So he's got cranky eyes, happy eyes, he's got a tongue, he's got a smile, he's got a grumpy face. And you put all these accessories in his backside, in the back area of this plastic potato. And my little grandson and I were sitting there playing with Mr. Potato Head and we suddenly realised we've got an extra set of ears. And he said to me, he said, Nanny, what are these ears? And clearly he already had his ears in, Mr. Potato Head, that is, not my grandson. And now we've got this extra pair, and we're just like, I said, you know what? The only explanation I can give is that either Mrs. Potato Head is walking around completely deaf, or these are Mr. Potato Head's listening ears for when he actually wants to listen. They're not just for show. They are listening ears. Revelation 2:7 says. There you go. You love it, don't you? Thank you. Was that genuine or complimentary? Genuine laughter. Revelation 2:7 says, I'm going somewhere with this, it's okay. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And again, the Message Bible says, are your ears awake? Listen. Ask your neighbor, are your ears awake? Have you got your listening ears on? Matthew 7:24-27 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Yes, the world's gone nutty, but God loves the world. That's why he gave us his son, Jesus. We need to get the wisdom of God out there. You know, I'm talking about ears, and I'm talking about put your listening ears on. And I want to share with you what I've now positively am now calling my upper room season. Because it didn't start off very good, but the Lord, the Holy Spirit came in and he turned it for me. And I'm calling it my upper room season. My physical hearing majorly malfunctioned suddenly and dramatically, painfully. I woke up one night, I had all this congestion happening in my ears. It felt blocked, it felt heavy, my head was thumping. I could hear all this noise like plumbing. I got up 2 and 3 times to go and check the plumbing in the toilet thinking, you know what, Jared's been to the loo and the system hasn't come back up again. And I'm going to go and check the system. So off I go in my jammies, fiddling with this thing and this, and there was all this noise going on. I'm thinking, what is that? I could feel a blockage. I felt really uncomfortable. I had a big headache. And I realized come morning time when I hadn't had much sleep at all, I realized that all this noise was actually in my head, not external. And I had this horrible blocked ear and I couldn't hear properly. And off I went to the urgent care just to say, could you syringe my ear, please, because it's blocked and I can't hear and I've got all this activity going on in there. And they looked and they said, well, there's nothing in there. You haven't got a blockage in your ear. I said, there must be a blockage in my ear. Something is going on. And they said, no, look, we'll have to send you to go to your GP. They'll have to refer you to a specialist. And this was urgent care. So I'm thinking, oh, look, they'll just flush it out and I'll be on my way. But no. So I went back and forth to different specialists and had lots of scans, and I was having some really debilitating migraines. And when I got a migraine, I know some people in this room, you know what a migraine is. It's not just a headache, but it's a headache that takes out my vision. And it makes me feel nauseous and I have to be in a dark room. And now I'm getting regular, weekly, every couple of days, big migraines and all this noise going on in my head. And I'm desperately trying to get someone to help me. Can someone just, you know, get a plunger or something? Just give me a good plunge and just get all this activity to subside. And it was very distressing. It was very painful. and it was very overwhelming and very scary, and I just didn't know what to do. And I was back in and forth, and of course I got prayer. I got anointed with oil, and I got cranky with God. I was like, come on, God, just fix me up so I can just move on and get on and do what I'm supposed to be doing. And it just wasn't happening, and I would really get frustrated and just keep going to God. I cried a lot, and I tucked myself away in an upstairs bedroom which overlooks our neighbourhood, and that is the room I've chosen to call my upper room. I moved away from our bedroom because I just wasn't sleeping. I was in a lot of distress, a lot of pain, popping headache tablets, getting prayed for. And eventually, the ear, nose and throat specialist said, you know what, I'm just going to send you to an audiologist. And I said, well, what can they do? And they said, we don't know, but go along and see what she can do. And so I went along to this audiologist, and by the time I got to her, I was in a lot of distress. I was suffering major anxiety. I was scared to go out. I was scared of noise. And my hearing had become so sensitive to everyday sound that I couldn't even put the jug on without flinching. Any appliances in the house, every time they went on, I'd go like this. And I ended up having to have physio in my shoulders, in my neck. It was like a freight train. And it was just getting worse. And I was like, what is this? And I went to this audiologist, and I sat down, and I just had a good cry with her. That was our introduction. She said, hello, Sue, how are you? And I'm like, and it was the ugly cry, and out came the tissues, snot everywhere. And she said, well, it's lovely to meet you. I said, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And so began this journey. My audiologist turned out to be a beautiful Jewish lady, practicing Jewish lady. Not a Messianic Jew, but a Jewish lady nonetheless. She had a healthy fear of God. And we began this journey together. It was probably like 5 years ago now, and she has become a dear friend of mine, and we have a mutual respect for each other. We meet together, and we don't even talk about ears, which is really nice. She said to me on one of my first visits, she said, I see in your notes that you are a pastor, that you are a Christian. I said, yes, that's right. Now, at this stage, I didn't know if she was a Messianic Jew or, whether she believes in Jesus. I didn't know. And I said, yes, that's right. And she said, can I ask you, Sue? She said, I'm going to come with a very holistic approach on your general health and well-being. And she said, do you observe a weekly Sabbath? And I couldn't answer easily because I thought to myself, I want to be a really good witness for Jesus here. And if she doesn't know Jesus, I really want to. And I suddenly went into this spin of, do I observe a Sabbath? What does she mean? I know that Sabbath is a day of rest. I know that, you know, we sort of chill back on a Saturday. What is she asking me here? And so, you know, I was that person, like many of you here in the room, that would pride myself on how much activity I could pack in a day for God. For God. I was that person running on adrenaline, cortisol, and all those stress hormones. I was that person that had a notepad next to my bed in case I woke up in the night and had forgotten something that I needed to do the next day and jot it down. I was that person in over her head with too much activity and unable to wind down. I was that person that was a people pleaser, saying yes to everything and everyone. And so began a journey with my audiologist that was a lot less to do about my hearing and a lot more to do about, let's try and discover how you got here in the first place. What is going on in your body, and what is your body trying to tell you? Because she said to me, she said, any sickness that we get, it gets our attention. And, you know, we have to listen and go, okay, what's behind this? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? And so began the journey to unpack and address issues in my heart. To address issues like striving and where has it come from. To address those issues of grief that were right here in my chest with tears, ready to cry if someone pressed the wrong button, but the busyness suppressed it. And that enabled me to not have, let's not go there. Affected friendships. If friendships were getting a little bit too close for comfort, I would just disappear. Because intimacy was a don't come too close, because if you press the wrong buttons, there's a gush here. There is a Niagara Falls about to erupt here. I had to address grief and the sense of being overwhelmed. This sense of being overwhelmed wasn't given to me by God. His burden is light and easy. How comes mine so heavy? How comes I feel like I've got the weight of the world and even my posture was slumped like this? And my audiologist said to me, do you always walk over like that? And I thought, blubbing cheek. I said, do you always walk like you walk like that? But this woman started to press buttons that needed to be pressed. And it was good for me. She has a beautiful fear of God and a reverence for God. She is a prayerful woman and she was good for me. And she became like a safe place for me. And I began to read up a little bit more about and research a little bit more about what does she mean by Sabbath? What does she mean by Sabbath? And I'm just highlighting a few things for the sake of time here. But I do believe that this is going to speak to some people in this room. You know, my busyness and my doing for God actually went right back to my childhood when my dad left our family when I was 8 years old and went off with another family, and my heart was absolutely broken. And I took it upon myself to think, you know what, he left us, therefore I'm not lovable enough. I'm not enough for him to stay. I'm just not enough for my dad. And so when he would come for visits, I would lay on such a big list of things I'd done, achieved, look at me, aren't I wonderful, and look, I've done this, done that, done the other. And I was trying to pull out of my dad a sense of, you know what, you're so fantastic, I'm going to come back. You know what, you're so fantastic that, you know, I wished I'd never left. I don't know, but as a 8-year-old, there was this subconscious thing in my mind that was playing out. And I was doing it with my Heavenly Father. Look at me, Dad. Look at me, Dad. Look what I've done for you. Look how much I've packed in a day. Look how many accolades and accomplishments I've gotten. Look what's going on here. And this is all as a result of peeling back. Let's have a look. How did you get here? I'm not saying these things caused this, but my health was in distress. In Mark Buchanan's book, The Rest of a God, he says this, Sabbath is not just about the day or the ceasing of activity, but the attitude of the heart while doing it. Sabbath is a mindset of relinquishing control to savor our Savior. It is trusting God's sovereignty. Sabbath is a command given to us, listen to this, to save us from ourselves. Isn't that powerful? It was to me. It's to save us from the bondage of selfishness, self-sufficiency, performance, rules, and duty. The Sabbath was given to us. It's like a big chill pill. It's the freedom to enjoy Jesus, to feel his pleasure for you. It is a time of feasting and celebrating the goodness of God, surrounded with family and laughter, and not feeling guilty about that, not feeling guilty that you put your phone down and you enjoy time playing Mr. Potato Head with your grandchildren. Guilt-free. hanging with your family, hanging with the people that you love. It is a time, Sabbath is a time to pause, to worship, to replenish, so that we can go into our working week from a Sabbathed heart. You know, my Jewish friend, she was telling me that Sabbath is a non-negotiable in their household. Friday afternoon, before the sun goes down, they stop. They put their phones away. Some of the really devout Jews, they don't even drive their car. The TVs, the screens go off. They have a beautiful meal together. They light candles. They give thanks to God for his goodness. They give thanks to one another for the blessing that they are one another's life. And they stand there and they say sorry to one another if they've upset each other during the week. Isn't that novel? I mean, I'd be there for days. The candle will be gone by the time I've finished. But this is a weekly thing. Shabbat Shalom. They stop. They appreciate. They feast. They celebrate. They forgive each other. They love each other. They put the devices away and they do whatever it takes to say, you know what? I'm going back into my working week rested in the presence of God. What did I learn in my upper room season? It started off as a room that I ran to and hid. Distressed, upset with God, couldn't be with people. I had a massive sensitivity to light and to sound. And that affected my attendance in church. It's all lights, it's all sound, it's all a sensory overload, if you like. And I waited on the Lord in that upper room. And what started off as a room and a season where I just thought, this is the end of me. I can't do anything else now. This will be it for me. My dash is done. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, began to speak to me in that room. And he said, I want you to start having communion with me. And I mean a physical communion. I loved that communion today. Thank you, Pastor Jackie. It was so lovely to see you up there. And I began to have communion. And I began to stop and spend time with the Lord, because I really didn't have a choice. You know, I think about Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I almost felt like I'd been made to lie down and stop. I didn't have a choice in it. This was suddenly put upon me. You know, the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins in Matthew 25 verses 1 to 13 was the oil. That was the difference. They were both waiting for the bridegroom to come, a picture of us all waiting for Jesus. And there were virgins there that didn't take oil and refill their lamp when the sound of the bridegroom came. And there were those that did, and they were wise. They were filling up, and the oil representing the Holy Spirit. And it's a picture for us that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit regularly. You know, I've got a car. Yes, most people have got a car. But one day it was smelling of burning, and I thought, oh, that's not good. It was really starting to smell. And I thought, oh, I better get that to the garage. So I took it to the garage and pulled up. I said, oh, excuse me, could you look at my car? It's smelling of burning. And the guy only took 2 minutes. He says, love, you've got no oil in here. I said, oh. He said, when did you last put oil in your car? I said, I never put oil in my car. He said, what do you mean? I said, oh, no, my husband does that. Well, you better tell your husband, love. You need some oil in your car. And it reminded me of these virgins, you know, like you've got some that have got oil, some haven't, and some that are saying, give us some of your oil. And me going home and saying to Jared, you didn't put any oil in my car, and that's why it stinks of burning. And the guy told me, I just suddenly realized, you know what? Maybe I should not just rely on the smell of burning and getting Jared to fill my car up with oil. Maybe I should just learn how to put oil in my own car. and then we won't be here again. Embarrassing. And so, let's not wait, pastors and ministers, to smell the smell of burning and burn out before we stop and smell the roses. I've learned in my upper room experience to be a Mary before doing the work of a Martha, to work from a Sabbath heart. I'm not saying that we just stop everything and we don't do anything ever again, but we must, as ministers in this day when revival is breaking out, to say that we are filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit ourselves, that we are ministering out of a place of Sabbath where we have spent time with God, that we're not winging it on our gifts. Some people are so gifted, and that we are not forfeiting a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and hearing from Him for just activity alone that looks good on the outward. We've got to look at the inward too. We don't want to be those who are running on fumes instead of fuel, on yesterday's success, on yesterday's revelation, on yesterday, you know, well, we had success there, so we'll just do the same again. No, we need fresh oil. We need fresh revelation. We all need another upper room filling up is what we need. We need a fresh touch from God. We need a fresh wind, as my son is always saying, Mum, we need a fresh wind. We do. We really do. We need to guard our hearts from the noise of the world. It's not until you've got dodgy ears that you realize, gee, it's a noisy world. There's so much unnecessary noise around. And it's not just physical noise. I mean, look, you go into a boutique and you want to buy something and the music's so blooming loud that you get in there, or is it just me? And I get in there and go, what was I in here again for? I go to Aldi now. They don't play music. It's lovely. It's lovely. I can just focus. Yes, I came in for cheese and I left with cheese. Hallelujah. How many choices were there? Only half a dozen. I wasn't overwhelmed with lights and chicks on their microphones and music blaring. I just got in. Sorry, I didn't mean to say chicks. That was very disrespectful. Sorry, ladies, if you're a checkout chick. And you know what? If you are a checkout chick and you're a pastor, you might want to go and see your boss about a pay rise, because that is not good. Anyway, we need to guard our hearts from the noise of the world. There is a lot of noise, and I'm not just talking about physical noise, but noise, stuff that comes in and bogs out our time and takes away margin to go and get filled with oil. That we're on our screens, we're on our, you know, we're just not being great at, at least I wasn't, at finding that time to stop and let the shepherd, Jesus himself, lead us into green pastures and still waters. And, you know, that's just a little bit of my story. And you know what? I am still on the road to recovery. I have a sensitivity to light and sound, but I chose to stop and listen to the Holy Spirit. I chose to stop saying my time is over, I can't function anymore, I can't be in church anymore. I chose to say, Jesus, I want to live. I want to serve. I want to go into another season for you. And though this has scared me and I'm hanging on to my other ear and just believing, I say that truthfully, you know, everything that's happened to me has been on one side, which has made me feel very tipsy-turvy. I've got one really excellent ear, and I rebuke the enemy every day, don't you touch me. Won't you touch my ear? And so by the grace of God, I'm stepping out in faith. By the grace of God, I'm saying, you know what, Satan, you're not having me. You're not taking my voice, and you're not taking my ears, and you're not taking my hope. You're just not taking me. I have learned that I need to be with Jesus every day. I can't wing it. I'm not going to pluck out a message for convenience sake that I did years ago, because I just won't take that time to be with the Lord. I will go to Jesus every day before there's a smell of burnout, before there is a smell of you're going under. You know, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for all of us. If we are wise, we are ready. We continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we are wise, we are staying intimate with the Holy Spirit. If we are wise, we are not getting caught up in works. We are not saved by works, but by the grace of God. If we are wise, we're running in our lane, what we were designed for. You know, I've got a little cuddly cavoodle dog. He's fluffy and he's cuddly and he's affectionate, and he was designed for cuddles. If I put him on a racetrack with a load of greyhounds and abuse the life out of him for not winning, come on, Paddy, how cruel would I be to that little cavoodle? But sometimes we do that to ourselves. We stick ourselves on a track, on a road, on a journey, comparing and thinking that we've got to be doing what that minister's doing and what that pastor's doing. And somehow, if we're falling short, that there's something wrong with us. Let's have the wisdom enough to say, I'm going to be who God's called me to be. I'm going to stay in my lane. Let's stand, everybody. Let's stand. And can we have whoever. Yes, come out. Keyboard, piano, whatever. Please come out. You know, when I was really, really sick and spent so many hours laying in a dark room, away from the world, away from voices, just away from everything, I became very much more sensitive to the presence of God. I knew He was in the room with me. I knew that I wasn't alone. And somehow in the big picture of things, in the big scheme of things, I knew that God was allowing this. He was allowing not so much time out, but I felt like His voice was saying, come away with me. Come away with me. I sat by a duck pond one day and I was crying and having a pity party, balloons, streamers, the whole thing going on. And I said, God, would you just fix my hearing so I can get out there and carry on doing what I was doing? And I opened my eyes, there was a duck going across the lake like this, and the water was really calm and really still. And this duck, and I looked and I thought, oh, still waters. And I felt the Holy Spirit. And you know when it's the Holy Spirit, because it's not what you were thinking about. It's just this random thought. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Sue, I'm restoring your soul. I'm going to restore your soul. And even now, that just brings me such a beautiful presence of God. Restore your soul. We can get so caught up in the busyness of ministry and think that it all hinges on us. It doesn't. Jesus is building His church. He's building His church. Yes, we have a part to play, but it doesn't all hinge on us. It hinges on the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is calling. Wisdom is calling to ministers, to pastors, to get back to what matters most. Let's not get caught up in all the activity before we have sought the Lord, rested in Him, and come from a Sabbathed heart. Let's close our eyes, everyone. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. I've shared my story. I've allowed myself to be vulnerable. And I know that I'm safe in a room full of ministers and pastors. and those that want to do your will. Jesus, we want to once again surrender ourselves to you. We don't want to sacrifice our intimate time with the Holy Spirit for a whole bunch of activity to impress you, because it doesn't impress you. We don't want to hear you say to us, but I never knew you. But Lord, we did this and we did that. And we cast out demons and we did this and we did that, and I never knew you. He is more interested in you, Pastor, Minister, in his friendship with you, in being able to pour his Spirit into you, so that when you open your mouth, it is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God in the workplace, in the school, in the community, the wisdom that is not natural and it's not demonic. It's godly wisdom. It's the Word of God. That the Word of God is going forth in power and in might. She is raising her voice. The volume is being turned up. And we will not be silenced. The wisdom of God will not be silenced. Thank you, Father. Father. Father, thank you. I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying to many of you here again, come to me. Come away with me. I'm not saying that you've got to go into some dark room like I had to, but it's a call of the Holy Spirit. Come away with me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, thank you. I pray right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will minister to those who are heavy, who are tired, who are weary, who are not enjoying, but they're enduring the ministry. Being called by you is such a privilege, such an honor. Thank you, Father, that you have anointed us for such a time as this. You have appointed us. You have graced us. And you will not leave us now. You are with us always until the end. And so, Father, I pray that as we wait for the return of Jesus, and we don't know when that is, that we would not stress and strive in our own strength, but that we would call on the name of the Lord and be filled with your Holy Spirit, that we would dial down our striving, dial down our performance, dial down those things that really are not important to you, Father. But you want our hearts. You want us to offload those things that weigh so much, that weigh so much. Lord, we don't want to lead others and be disqualified ourselves as not being those that stayed close and heard your voice. My sheep know my voice. You are our good shepherd. And I pray that we would increase in sensitivity to the sound of the shepherd. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Let's all lift our hands. I was going to say at this point, put your hands over your ears. But then I thought, well, that's silly, because you wouldn't be able to hear what I was saying. So we're going to lift our hands. Father, help us to put our listening ears on to him who has ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying, that we're not out there in a whole rush of busyness doing stuff that you never asked us to do. Give us ears, Lord. Give us sensitivity. Help us, Lord, to come from a Sabbathed heart to your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. I'm not sure what to do with the